It's Thursday, March 24th, 2016. You're listening to Last Time on Video Games, a podcast about retro video games and sometimes some other things. This is episode 140, Swamp Steve. Runtime for this episode is 48 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that defeats alligators with firearms, not our bare hands. My name is Jeremy.
I actually take the Steve Irwin approach and just insult it and call it cheeky. I'm Tyler.
I like using my bare hands. I mean, those claws, they're pretty amazing.
Yeah, I like bear claws. They're probably my favorite kind of donut.
I don't know. I've never cared for bear claws. I like just, you know, usually glazed donuts or chocolate donuts.
So either way, they give you +3 speed. I guess
glazed donuts actually give you +5. They're a rarer drop than chocolate donuts.
And you have to wait in line so long at Krispy Kreme. It wastes a lot of your time resources.
I went to a Lamar's recently to have... I forget the random alliterative term we came up with.
Lamar's Lorenzini?
Yes. No, conciliatory comestibles for breaking our build overnight. But I went into the donut shop. I'm like, okay, and you have only glazed donuts, I guess. So I guess I'll get 11 glazed donuts and a single chocolate donut. It wasn't quite that bad. They had one maple donut, which I ate because...
Maple.
Yep, exactly. Maple is the best flavor. I actually have some maple beer brewing right now. It will be about ready to bottle the time this podcast posts.
I have constantly been debating getting myself a donut when I go into work at the paper in the morning, but I never do.
Cool because story, bro.
I always think about it when I'm on my way out of the gas station. I'm like, huh, donut would be nice. But I really don't want to go back and pay for something else.
I think I've regaled the story on the podcast before, but Paco, the guy who also works there.
Yeah, he doesn't work there anymore. Okay. He hasn't worked there in years.
I kind of assume. But when I was working at the gas station at like Main and Parker or something like that, he would come in every morning and buy a coffee and 2 donuts and pay for it entirely in pennies without fail every Saturday night.
So that's why John Green hates pennies.
Well, I mean, there are lots of reasons to hate pennies. CGB Grey also hates pennies.
Everybody they're hates inefficient. Pennies. Even JC hates pennies.
In fact, they're changing their name to JC Nichols.
If Jay-Z fought JC Pennies, who would win?
Jay-Z.
JC Pennies.
Really? I feel like their net worth has to be pretty low these days.
Yes, but JC Pennies is a building.
So?
All they have to do is fall over on him and he's done.
Well, okay, yeah, that is true. But it would require some effort to make it fall over. C4 would help.
Clearly, you've never seen the Mercenaries games. All you have to do is breathe on buildings particularly hard and they fall over is what those games have taught me.
I feel like Jay-Z uses 50 Cent Blood on the Sand physics, though. I don't know how destructible buildings are in that game.
Not very, is my impression. Speaking of which, has there ever been a good Red Faction game?
Red Faction 1 was pretty good.
I hear good things I think Red Faction Guerrilla.
That is a game that exists. There are oil towers you can blow up, presumably.
I assume you haven't been playing that?
No, none of these things.
So what have you been playing?
A lot of other things. I'm mostly, I think like 3/4 of the way through Metal Gear now.
Oh, yeah. How do you feel about it? What's happened plot-wise?
Well, maybe I'm overestimating where I am. What is the most recent plot event? Huey recently decided that he's making, like, a spider walker or something like that, and Snake's really reluctant about it because he thinks it's a bad idea. He's like, I don't know, that seems really contrived. Kind of like a bipedal Metal Gear. I guess, actually not a whole lot else has happened. I blew up an oil factory.
Did you save the children's yet?
Yes, I have rescued, that is the most recent thing I have done, is rescue some children.
Have you armed them?
No, we're teaching them how to read and write on our military base.
That's not as important as arming them.
No, we're never going
to
arm them.
They're trying to disarm them because they were child mercenaries?
Even better. You can pay them half wages and call it a day.
Although I also saved the other guy that they wanted killed in that mission. I'm like, you know, this general who hired us is an asshole. I'm just going to steal this guy. I also stole 3 tanks during that mission. I was really hoping that was one of the mission tasks, but...
Do you get the tank crews when you do that?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because I can just imagine the tank crews getting out and going, what do we do? You get off the rig.
In fact, in a lot...
Start swimming, boy.
No, you convert them to Diamond Dogism. Possibly, like...
Snake is such a legendary badass that kidnapped soldiers just want to work for him.
Yeah, in fact, during this mission, I was walking around and some people were like, hey, I heard Big Boss has been wandering through the area. And they're like, nah, we've seen some guy and been shooting at him. Big Boss would never let himself get discovered. Coincidentally, I actually went the entire mission without being discovered, but...
Then clearly you did it wrong.
That is true. There is the other style of gameplay, which is throw all the grenades all the time.
Then there's another style of gameplay? Send in quiet, have her kill everybody, then no one can see you because they're dead.
Yeah, so on the previous mission, so it gives you code names depending on how you performed. The previous mission, I got Butterfly because I had quiet kill everything for me, so... Actually, Tranquilize. She now has a silenced Trank sniper rifle, which is way more useful.
How is it more useful?
Because dead people can't be parachuted to your base and converted.
Also, you get fewer points if you kill anyone on the mission, and I can't do them fast enough to get S rank otherwise, so I have to rely on perfect stealth. That's pretty much it. So, but during the child mission, there's like a house that you're at right before the very last run over to where the helicopter lands. I got kind of bogged down there and ended up having like 30 guys jump me. I'm like, quiet, cover fire, I'm going in. And I threw a bunch of sleep grenades, never got seen the entire time. But, and then I ran up to the, I'm like, oh, a sniper, I will take this guy out. Took the one kid who couldn't walk, toss him on the helicopter. I'm like, all right, kids. Wait, kids? Where'd you go? I had a they wouldn't move because there was a passed out body next to them.
Yeah, so. I had a problem with one of the kids got stuck way back near the start, so I had to go back for him.
Yeah, and I had basically, so I had to go airlift all the bodies out, and while I was doing it, they were all waking up because it had taken me long enough to realize what was going on. So I'm like, quiet, still covering me? Good. And so that like a guy would go, oh man, what hit me? Come on! Just fall back over again immediately.
Yeah, quiet, cover me is one step before everything is everything is awful. Quiet, cover me is, I can still fix this, I can still fix this!
It worked pretty well. What else have I, oh, man. Okay, so it's been on my list for a while and I haven't wanted to pick it up because it was still kind of expensive and it's definitely, like, it's in version 0.2.6 right now, but I picked up Slime Rancher.
I heard good things about that.
Oh, that's what you were playing.
Well, that is one of the mini games I've been playing. It is fantastic. It is pure joy in small, slimy form. My problem with it is that it is very early in development because there's not a lot of content to it. So that said, they basically said you can play through the entire game in like 4 to 6 hours currently. But their official development website said, you know, people get burned out on games while they're still in alpha a lot. So we'll just send you an email whenever we put out an update worth playing again.
That's good.
It's an interesting way to do it.
Yeah, I kind of like that because I've definitely gotten burnt out on games while they're still in development. DayZ, for example.
Minecraft.
Well, is it ever not in development? Are they going to finish that one day?
7 days. We haven't actually been on 7 days in a while.
Yeah, 7 days is what I meant when I said DayZ.
And Minecraft officially released.
That is true, but they're still developing it.
Well,
so.
Yeah.
Well, technically, there's a lot of games that are still being developed, as in they're having more content released.
World of Warcraft is technically still in development. EverQuest is technically still in development. Do you know when the last EverQuest expansion was?
No.
October 2015.
Wow. Okay. That's surprisingly recent.
Dead for at least 8 years.
EverQuest 2 has been dead. EverQuest continues strong.
I wonder how Maple 2 is doing. Slime Rancher, though, fantastic game. If you like cute farming simulators, I have a
Is
hard
it like
time.
Monster Rancher,
kind of. It has a similar feel to it, although the mechanics behave nothing like that.
And you don't fight your slimes.
No,
you just sell them.
Although some of them fight you, there's not really anything you can do against them. Basically, you have a vacuum, and you go and suck up slimes, and then you can build pens for them. But when slimes eat the poop, so there are like 6 different types of slimes currently, when slimes eat the poop of another type of slime, they become a slime hybrid. So there's like rock slimes and cat slimes, for example. So if a cat slime eats a rock slime's poop, it becomes a rock cat slime, which doubles in size, but every time you feed it, it poops out one of each type of poop, and you make money by selling slime poop. They're called plorts.
I repeat.
It's pretty great. My favorite so far have been the tabby phosphor slimes, but I currently have honey boom slimes, which I had to put a net or a ceiling over because they kept exploding out of their cage. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, I probably went through it in about 6 hours. I got to the end where I was harvesting water slimes, which are really fragile. You basically have to build a swimming pool for them to swim around in. And their plorts immediately break on contact with anything, including you, so you have to suck them up from a distance. So I got to the point where I was harvesting those, I'm like, man, I'm rich, so I bought all the things. I'm like, okay, what to go do now? Oh, there was nothing left to do, I have beaten the game. So, it was a little disappointing. At the time of speaking, he is currently working on two, or he being the guy who actually program. They have three people who work at the company. They're currently working on two additional areas, one of which includes Mosaic Glass Slimes, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, running out of content is why I haven't played Yandere Simulator. That, and I'm pretty sure I could be fired if my employers found out I played Yandere Simulator. Since it's basically a game where you try to murder school children or get them to commit suicide so you don't have to by bullying them.
I mean, I risk putting my character in a bad light here, but this sounds like a really cool game.
Yeah, no, like,
I've heard things about it, and I'm like, that sounds interesting, but I've never actually bothered to go look at it.
It's banned on Twitch, and I think for probably good reason. On the other hand, I find the dark humor of it very funny and entertaining.
So,
on the other hand, it is like a mass school murder simulator, and if you take away the filters of a video game, it does
suddenly
get a
becomes
little
way
gross.
Distressing.
On the other hand, it is just a video game. Anyway, anything else besides Slime Ranch Solid, the Phantom Plort?
One other game I played a little bit of is Morphopolis. I can't really recommend it other than the fact that it's cheap. My highest praise for it is that it is visually appealing. Yeah,
you say so it's porn?
Yes, it is caterpillar porn.
Wait, that's not my fetish. Take it away. Bring me back Yandere Simulator.
It's like an...
I thought it was Lacus.
That's not a fetish so much as it is...
a specific interest?
So much as it's the one time a girl offered to dress up as her, I had to refuse because I felt weird about it.
You fool. You do not know what you have done.
I mean, you know, regrets I've had a few, but...
I'm trying to... It's like a find the picture game.
Oh,
that sounds really boring.
Yeah, it occasionally
it's
has...
like a Where's Waldo?
It's similar, except you can interact with the environment a little more. The goal is you evolve your creature through various... like, you start out as a caterpillar and they become a different bug that becomes like a parasitic worm.
The games you're playing are very similar to the games I'm playing, but not the same games.
Moral of the story is, it's okay. I can see why it's only 50 cents. But speaking of Where's Waldo, have you guys seen the YouTube videos that make use of the panoramic video as like a panoramic Where's Waldo?
Yes, I have.
It's pretty cool. You follow like two agents trying to hunt down Waldo and your goal is to find them before they do in the video. Anyway, that's what I've been playing.
All right. Zach, what have you been playing?
A lot of League of Legends, because that's what I do. I play League of Legends. I had a particularly good game on it, Ezreal and Aram at one point. I ended up going 23-5-29.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
23-33 is still my favorite stat line.
23-33?
No, 33-33.
Ah, that was your Janna score.
Yes.
Played one game where Kevin ended up with a score of 0-25.
That's a lot of assists. Was he playing to support?
Yeah. He was playing Janna.
I don't know who that is.
Janna just sits back and puts shields on people and is super fast and goes, wee.
And Kevin's actually a good Janna. A good Janna makes you feel invincible.
Whoa, double rainbow. What does that mean?
No, she's actually much better as a mid laner.
That's because of her mighty Lux Ray.
Partly. Her scalings are also very good, but her base damages aren't too stellar.
She also has a pretty good Pyroar.
But playing a lot of that, they just released their Hextech chest crafting thing. So my first one, I got like the freebie that they issued out to everybody who played. I got Bioforged Darius, which is a skin for a champion I don't play a great deal of, and I already have his best skin.
And isn't that just Bane?
Yeah,
or is
much.
That a different skin I'm thinking
it's,
of?
It Bane is singed.
Oh, yeah, that's just the one I'm thinking of.
But I ended up re-rolling it into some different skins, which were kind of cool. I picked up a few. I'm actually putting together a permanent chat if anybody plays League of Legends and is interested. They can always just message me to get into a Last Time on Video Games club chat.
So they message you on what?
League of Legends.
Okay.
Where you are?
Hambone 2013. I mean, I'm easy to find.
Not Hambo 2015. That guy's a poser.
Oh, yeah.
I actually want to go make a League account that's just all the years you didn't take.
Starting from when? -4000 BC?
Right after I started playing the game, when the year ticked over, someone was like, you're going to have to change your name, aren't you? And I'm like, I don't think I'm going to do that.
Well, it's like from whenever the game was released. So.
Ah.
So, like, that's still a fun game. Still one that I would really recommend to anybody.
I played Smash. Corrin rocks.
Corrin does rock. I've been playing a lot of Fire Emblem Fates as well.
Yeah, how is that?
Still really good. Hoshida okay. would lose this war outright.
Just terrible tactics, or...
They don't have the resources. Their entire force is light infantry.
That, yeah, I feel like a single heavy cavalry would just...
Yeah, they have all light infantry and Pegasus Knights. which would basically be light cavalry.
And it's air cav. And air cav in medieval warfare is really hard to model.
Yeah, but Nor has wyvern riders.
Ah, okay.
Which are heavy air cav.
Yeah, like I can't see any situation where they have tactical superiority.
And, you know, heavy infantry of knights, of the Fire Emblem Knights, is like, yeah, can kind of see where this would go if this actually broke out into fighting, because these guys have just so many more resources than the other dudes do.
So, I guess, what's the relation between the two countries? How do they, why do they interact? Because I feel like one of them would just conquer the other immediately.
Nor is in the process of trying to, like, that's the plot line that they went with, but there was, like, some kind of magic that was preventing them from actually invading.
I have mages. That's a factor we're not counting for here.
Yeah, but both sides have mages.
Yeah, which so, just negate each other. I've been reading a lot of Malazan, and they talk a lot about how two magic wielders negate each other, so it all comes down to swords.
Well, that's actually one of the things that a lot of the fiction that I've read that involves magic. Magic in, like, these fictional things, like, yep.
We don't want to deal with it, so it's there, but it's equal and opposite. And Einstein said,
"Well, that's what usually what they usually say is that if the two sides' magic users are doing what they should be, you don't see anything."
Yeah, they're mostly keeping each other busy.
Yeah, because they're preventing the other from doing something catastrophic to your army.
Gandalf is fighting the Balrog in the basement while everyone else goes on an adventure.
Exactly. But I mean, yeah, it's really good. I've gotten all but one of the like children characters. But they're not as useful as they were in Awakening.
I didn't know how they worked in Awakening. I guess children of other people?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there still weird time travel in this one?
No.
That was a really strained no.
I don't know exactly. Like, it's like all the kids are being stuffed into like alternate dimensions.
Oh, I mean,
time clearly passes differently in. So
we're just going to put these in the child farm.
The hyperbolic time child.
I don't know. But, like, they all start at level 20, and you don't have enough master seals to really make good use of that.
Mm.
So I don't have the seals to promote them to anything useful.
Yeah, that seems kind of like a problem, because, like, they stop gaining experience at level 20, right?
Some of the classes do.
Okay.
Apparently, maids, I would wager butlers don't. And the songstress also, I don't know what her max level is, but she's over level 30 at this point.
It
what
sounds do like you're just naming fetishes and not classes.
Yeah, say, like, what do butlers become, like manservants?
I don't know. They haven't. I haven't reached his max level because I haven't been using butler. I've been using the maid because I'm like, the hell do you promote into? I'll get you to level 20 and you
Sailor
keep going.
Scout.
I'll say, like, level 30 butler knows when you need tea before you ask for it.
But it's like, what? I don't know if they actually have a max level. They might not have a master class. Oh, they may just keep gaining experience.
So the butler's upgrade isn't black butler?
Apparently not.
That's sad.
But, I mean, it's fun still. The game is still quite good. I'm probably a bit over-leveled at this point because I've been doing all these different support conversations and whatnot. So,
hey, that armor looks really good on you. Level up!
Well, some of them are actually a bit more in-depth than that, but I mean, it's still got the Fire Emblem problem of there are some of them that are going to be kind of shallow because you have all these characters that are combining together, and some of the characters don't have enough, in my opinion.
Like, the developers never really said, how would these people interact beyond casual conversation?
It's better than Path of Radiance, where everyone's support conversation with everyone, they say the same things, so they're just talking past each other.
So yeah, like that one's not conversation. Very good.
Yeah.
I have done two invasions of my castle, and one of them I lost everybody but two of my characters. So I was standing there at the bat, like on the throne where I was supposed to defend against like 90 guys.
So, invasion of your castle?
You have this castle area that you go in between missions that you can like mess with stuff and buy stuff, and occasionally it will come under attack. I don't actually know what causes it.
Street passes.
It might be. I mean, I have no idea, but everybody else went down. But I'm currently going through on casual on this playthrough because I wanted to just be
experience
able to play
it
without it actually having to worry about anybody going out.
I wanted to play it without any of the excitement or risk.
Well, what if you want to play for the story? You want to see all the cool character interactions.
Well, that's why I'm playing it on casual first.
Let's players exist.
You want to see all of Ike's friends that he's fighting for before they die.
And honestly, this one actually makes... I'm glad I did because this one actually has a lot of other things built into it. Like, there's a level where somebody has an ability that can knock anybody down to 1 HP.
Ow.
Instantly.
Ow. That's pretty ridiculous, especially if it's, like, a general going down.
Oh, no, it's the person who does it is like the enemy commander, because they added ways to modify terrain in Fates with things. They're called dragon veins, and the main character in any of like the royal families can activate them, and it will do something.
Suddenly, trees.
Pretty much. And one of them, it was basically suddenly water.
As I said, that reminds me of the, and we weren't talking about that on air, were we? The, in Yu-Gi-Oh! Where they have, like, the arbitrary, like, terrain field things cards that pop up, and they had the simulator, so that suddenly rocks.
See, I was just imagining the first level of Dynasty Warriors 3, where the yellow turbans shape the battlefield, and, feel the power of my magic! Which is
Scorpions.
But it's, yeah, it's good. It's Fire Emblem.
Anything else, Zach?
Kevin got the Wolfpack Payday heists,
which are remakes of heists from the first game,
which we played one of them. You have to steal counterfeiting plates,
but it turns out that the counterfeiting machine is right there, so you might as well indulge a little.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're heisters or anything like that, and you make your money by doing it. And the other one is you're actually interrogating an IRS agent.
I accidentally knocked him out with a meat mallet.
I knocked him out with a katana when me and Kevin did it the first time.
Well, I like you have to beat him a little bit to coerce him to talk. And Zach's sitting there, like, hitting him over the head with a katana. Like,
this is not the most efficient weapon for your task.
But it's actually kind of cool because in the mission, you actually have to pick up his limo with a crane. And it will drop it. But it apparently drops it in different places. Like, when me and Kevin did it the first time, it actually dropped it down a stairwell and lit it on fire. Whereas when we did it with Tyler, just, like, kind of fell against the outside of the building we were on.
Sometimes it can properly set it down on the roof.
Really?
Yep. That's actually how it works most of the time, apparently, according to the wiki.
Well, on ours, he properly set it down on the roof, and then the roof broke out from underneath it, so it fell down the staircase.
Yeah, that's actually an edge case, apparently.
Huh, because 2 out of 2, it hasn't gotten on the roof.
Yeah, well, small sample size. We were commenting that the older heists, I mean, I'm not sure how much they've embellished them for making them into Payday 2, but the older ones seem to have a lot more detail in them than I thought. Like, they didn't start adding that level of detail to Payday 2 heist until, like, the 6th DLC or something arbitrarily large like that.
And we had a couple of other missions in which one of them we had, like, 900,000 bulldozers spawn at the same time.
It was inconvenient. I don't have that many bullets in my gun.
Yeah, at one of them, we walked around the corner, me and Kevin right behind each other, and walked straight into two black bulldozers. That was unpleasant. And then we rounded another corner, and there was a third one. That kind of sucked.
And none of us was Wick.
Dozer!
They're doing a skill rebalance soon. It sounds like they're getting rid of a lot of the skills that people just never use because they're clearly outcompeted by other skills in the same rank.
That happens in a lot of things.
I'm interested to see what they come up with. I don't know that I have high expectations because the builds I have work pretty well. On the other hand, the builds I have work so well, why would I ever build anything else? There isn't much choice to be had there.
That's the problem when you run into any kind of skill system. There becomes a optimal situation.
Yeah, but been intentionally running non-optimals this last run for that reason.
So what kind of non-optimal situations have you been dealing with, Jeremy?
Well, I have been working all the time, which means I play way more video games than otherwise, because all of my free time gets stuffed with video games.
I noticed you're playing a lot of Civ.
So much Civ 5, but not good, interesting video games to talk about. As games that pass the time, like Civ 5, where I won a bunch of times and lost a few times, mostly as China.
Did everyone wear your blue jeans?
Yeah, a few times everyone wore my blue jeans. A few times I went to space in the year 1900.
Did you ever send out the Yellow Horde?
No. I won military with China, so yes.
The Yellow Horde.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like there's
last time
the
on video games is not racist.
What?
It does not think the Chinese people are yellow. Or Fu Manchu. Yeah, I don't really have any interesting civilization stories, but I've been playing it.
Do either of you guys read Corpse Run?
No.
Like, a full third of his comics are about Civ. I'm probably exaggerating. The other third are Phoenix Wright.
And then what's the third?
Tales of Symphonia.
That's an old game.
It is.
Now.
I think I played that one.
It's pretty good. It's the one with Lloyd. Everyone
yeah, I
likes Lloyd.
I didn't beat that one.
And Colette, that's right. I forgot
and
about
guy
that.
Guy who betrays you?
Although he can also join your party again later, so he doesn't betray you that bad. I forget what his name is. He has red hair. Zal, Zest, Zeist. It's heavily implied that he's gay and has the hots for your 14-year-old main character, which in retrospect is a little creepy. But
so I've been playing that. I played Pokemon Picross, at least the levels they give you for free. I'm not really interested in paying to play Picross, so
what
I kind of stop.
It is a type of puzzle. Where they tell you how many dots are in a row or
it's
column.
It's similar to Sudoku, although you don't have to do quite as much.
It's like less
possibility vetting.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, like, if you have a 5x5 grid, it has numbers along the edges, and it tells you how many of the cells in a row or column are filled. So,
and when you fill them all in, they make a picture.
So you use the logic to deduce what it should be. There's Armor Games has a made by Armor Games Picross, and it's pretty good and also free, so I don't know.
Well, Pokemon Picross is free, but they have a model where basically there's an energy system and it costs you one energy to fill in a grid, but you can buy full energy and it also increases it by 100 permanently. Ah. And when you get to 500, they're like, you've given us enough money. You can just play forever now. But also the levels are gated with.
Yeah, I was going to ask how that works.
You have basically one currency that you can earn in game, but you earn a maximum of 5 per puzzle and you need like 100 to move on.
So you have to do a lot of puzzles over and over again.
You have to repeat the same puzzle a bunch or pay the money. And I mean, it's a video game. They worked on it. They deserve money for it. But I don't want to pay them money for that video game. So I kind of stalled out on it.
To be fair, it wouldn't be a game that you would have bought if it wasn't free, right? Yeah. So obviously you're not the target demographic.
Uh-huh. And then I've been playing a bunch of a really bad game from 2008, which is Digimon World Championship.
I've heard of that game.
Programmed by a bunch of people who did not particularly like Digimon or making video games or translating things from Japanese to English.
Is this that 2D fighter you had?
No, it's not a 2D fighter. That's Digimon Rumble Arena, and that's pretty okay. As far as Super Smash Bros. Clones go.
Oh, that game. I think we played a couple rounds of it.
Probably. I played a lot of that before I met you. But yeah, it's a Digimon before they were even an anime was a Tamagotchi made to appeal to boys. And so this game kind of goes back to that, and it's sort of a Tamagotchi, but you have multiple different Digimon. And depending on how you raise them, they follow different evolution paths. But there's just lots of shoddy work. Like a bunch of R's that are clearly supposed to be L's. Like Preciomon, who's a plesiosaur. And then like things like Garurumon and Weregarurumon are in the game, but Garurumon cannot evolve to Weregarurumon.
How do you get Weregarurumon then?
What?
From like Kyubimon. There's a lot of different evolution forking, so different things can evolve into lots of different things, and that's sort of the game. But there's just lots of paths that don't make sense or random Digimon that aren't in the game, even though they're in the middle of an evolution line that otherwise is entirely in the game.
Like missing Metal Greymon out of the Greymon line?
Yeah, specifically War Growmon is not in the game.
Oh, okay, sorry. Talking about forking evolution paths reminded me of a game and I was trying to remember what it was, and I just remembered what it was. Ah. But it's not related to forking evolutions at all.
And so then you enter in battles, which you just watch and hope you train your Digimon well enough to...
Truly the most engaging type of combat.
So it's ogre battle.
Yes. You at least get, you even give them a strategy at the beginning of the fight. Although some Digimon, I don't know if they're glitched or if they just thought they'd be overpowered, will just like not attack really. It's just really shoddily done, but for some reason I keep playing it.
Slacking is loafing about.
I've got like a Giga Seedramon and a Shining Greymon and all sorts of stuff.
Such Pokemans?
Yep. Only they're Digimans.
Details. I saw a post recently that was some teacher assigned a homework assignment of just send me a picture of your favorite Pokemon and got 3 Digimon in the response.
You failed this, this assignment.
Did he say it like Arrow from Arrow? You fail this assignment. And then shoot them with an arrow?
No, although, I mean, what class could you do that in?
Archery?
Yeah. So.
Jeremy could do it.
Robin Hooding.
What is archery homework? Go shoot things.
Go
shoot 10 criminals. It's like an RPG quest.
Bring me back 12 criminal hides.
I mean, what exactly is homework except for an RPG quest? Really? Like, all it is a fetch quest.
I mean, usually you actually aren't fetching anything. You have to
go to a location, complete a task, and then bring back proof that you completed that task.
Yeah, bring me back 6 completed calculus problems.
Yes.
Oh, man, that would be amazing. Your quest for tonight is...
Except you have to actually go, like, mug abstract concepts for calculus problems.
No, that's English.
Like a Kingdom of Loathing quest.
It does. The more I think about it, the more it does.
There's that Kingdom of Loathing challenge path where you're stuck in high school. So you have to spend the first 40 adventures of every day in high school before you can go adventuring after school.
Wait, don't you only get 40 by default?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to drink while you're in school.
You also can't drink regular booze. You can only drink booze bought to you by strange older people that you convince to buy you booze.
This sounds ridiculously difficult.
It's not that hard because you earn a lot of stuff in school.
Okay.
Like, you can go to shop class and build things that make quests really easy.
That helps.
Yeah.
I kind of like that challenge path, though.
It's pretty fun. You know what's not fun, though?
Fighting alligators?
The bayou?
Steve Florida?
No, Florida's fine. You're Konami? Thinking of Alabama or Louisiana.
Oh, no.
It's hot, muggy, and no fun.
Yeah, but Florida has swamps.
Yeah, but Florida also has Disney World.
And Orlando parks. They have That's the Tower true. Of Doom ride that, in line, it's just propaganda about how bad the Fantastic Four are and how great Dr. Doom is.
That's actually pretty awesome.
And Louisiana and Alabama are all swamp.
I mean, Alabama's not all swamp. They have a college.
It's 95%. So does Louisiana.
Exactly.
It's in the middle of a swamp.
Alabama Swamp College. We teach you how to survive the wilderness.
They teach you how to beat up alligators.
Okay, we played Bayou Billy, a video game.
Technically speaking, that is true.
Somehow that wasn't the description I was expecting, but it was the description we needed.
So Bayou Billy is one of Konami's beat-em-up games. Konami made a lot of great beat-em-ups in the early 90s, like the X-Men arcade game we've played, the Simpsons arcade game we'll probably play eventually, the Ninja Turtles arcade games we want to play but never will because Ninja Turtles rights are complicated. This is not one of them.
Nope.
We've talked about side-scrolling beat-em-ups and how we don't really care for them. This is probably the worst one.
And it's about as bog standard as it is humanly possible to be.
I was going to say the worst one we played, definitely. There is that caveat. I guess...
It's less interesting than Golden Axe.
Yeah, so I'll make the... Oh, man. Man, this might be worse than Golden Axe.
I'm going to defend it as not being worse than Golden Axe, but we'll save that for after the podcast. That's bonus content for our true believers who listen to our entire episode.
But I want to hear it.
Well, you're not a true believer. You're an acolyte.
So it's a side-scrolling beat-em-up, but it has no co-op, which you think Konami would have learned from its previous outings and things like Double Dragon, that
that's about
co-op
as
is
possible and standard as it is to get, and that's the one thing they don't have in this game.
So that's the only thing that makes most beat-em-ups tolerable.
Yeah, it's also the only redeeming feature of them.
You only have three moves, kick, punch, and jump kick.
Jump kick is OP.
It's the only way you can actually advance anywhere.
Well, eventually you get a stick, which has decent range, so yeah, punch replaces jump kick as your best weapon.
You can get certain weapons and punch swings them, and with those you can fight okay, but enemies can do all the same stuff you can, but they recover faster. So this is one of those games where there's really not much skill involved, it's just...
You kind of had to wait for them to, like, have their back turned to you, punch them in the kidney, and then run away.
Combat is incredibly boring and not really fulfilling.
And super time-consuming.
And there's not much variety of enemies. There's guys who will punch you and alligators. And alligators are even more of a pain in the ass because they have smaller hitboxes.
Eventually you get scuba divers who will try to shoot you, but one punch knocks a gun out of their hand and then you can pick it up and shoot them.
They seem like they also have almost as much health as you do. Normal enemies do.
Almost everything. I think the pink-shirted guys are the ones you meet second. I think they actually have more health than you do. Because I went in a straight-up bare-knuckle boxing match, Yu Yu Hakusho style against them and lost.
So the fighting isn't fair, but it's also, you don't have any advantage. It's not like Mario where contact kills you, but from above you are king. Or any game where you have to take advantage of your strengths. It's just tedious.
Well, the player should always have some kind of inherent advantage over the computer, whether it's more HP or a wider move pool or something else.
You have more intelligence. Does that
Other
count?
Than that, no, you
I disagree.
Don't. You're a gamer. Intelligence is not something you do well.
I think punishing games where your wits are the only thing that can help you survive are fine, but that's not really the case here.
Yep.
Here,
wits
your,
is...
your patience is what helps you survive, and this game isn't terribly worth them. However, this game does have one sort of interesting thing. Like a bunch of early NES games, it tried to boast being three games in one. But I think this is actually one of the most successful types of those games ever made, because it actually is sort of three diverse game modes, if you can actually get through those beat-em-up sections. that make up the majority.
Yeah, right. That beat 'em up section is ridiculous.
So at the beginning of every level, it tells you which controller to use. You use the original NES controller or the light gun.
Yeah, this game has light gun levels, which also you can play without the light gun, and it's way easier and just use the controller.
Oh, really? But, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I think it's mode B.
Huh.
But be a man and use the light gun. You have light gun levels. They're not super interesting. You have a limited amount of ammo, and if you run out, you game over and are confused.
Really?
Yes. You're well, like, I cannot continue to shoot people. My quest is over.
My question is, where was Billy's gun while he was just wandering? Like, there were alligators trying to eat you. Why not just shoot the alligator?
Because the alligator doesn't have a gun. It's not fair.
And on later levels, you can beat up people with guns, take their guns, and use them as weapons to shoot other people.
Even as early as, I think, the second level, you can start doing that. Although, it doesn't actually make the game much easier.
Well, clearly not, because first you have to take a gun away from somebody.
Well, like, when Billy's in fighting mode, he's, like, really focused on punching things. It apparently greatly diminishes his ability to shoot a gun, because suddenly he becomes really good with a gun when he's no longer trying to punch things. Also, he's, like, flying or something?
Tyler, he's an American redneck in the Southwest.
You assume he's American. He might be French.
If he's French, then he wouldn't be fighting anybody. He'd be running away.
Oh, man. Speaking of which, the cover art of this totally looks like a ripoff of Crocodile Dundee.
Yep.
And there's no bayou in Australia.
That's true. There's only death.
Bayou sounds like Louisiana.
Yeah. But he might be French Creole. You never know. I was going to say...
It'd be Flea Simulator if that was the case.
Yeah, clearly.
Last time on video games is not countryist.
I mean, you took world history, right?
Yes.
Even American history?
Yes.
Okay.
I am a history minor.
Okay. So you know France is kind of badass, right?
No.
Okay. Anyway,
Nazis Napoleon killed all the brave ones.
Man, I got derailed.
If you get through those shooting levels and those beating people up levels, you get to driving levels, which are kind of just a really bad version of Mach Rider without the interesting...
Is it a monster truck?
No, it's a Jeep. Also, kind of your attack is you lob grenades and they go in this really awkward arc. Mostly you fight helicopters, so you have to lob grenades up at helicopters.
And wait, you have grenades too? Why are we ever punching anything?
You don't have a limited number of grenades, unlike your gun, which is limited. But really your main episode is logs that are standing up in the middle of the road. Because if you crash into those, you explode and die.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
Usually is. Explosions are usually bad.
So we can we talk about the intro to this game a little bit?
Sure,
because
go
it's
for
great.
It.
Basically, generic, like, overlord villain. He's like a guy in a suit, basically. It looks like a Dukes of Hazzard episode.
Yes,
opening.
My thought was, why is the villain from Dukes of Hazzard harassing this nice Bayou man?
Anyway, he steals Daisy Duke, who's apparently Bayou Billy's girlfriend, and be like, and he's
clearly.
Like, Billy, you'll never rescue whatever her... I think her name might actually be Daisy, but I'm probably projecting.
Oh, Daisy!
Yeah. I hope we play a Dukes of Hazzard game one day.
Godfather Gordon is the name of the villain. He kidnaps Billy's girlfriend, Annabelle Lane.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Billy's quest to save Annabelle consists of 9 stages that take him from the Swamplands to Bourbon Street as he battles Gordon's henchmen.
Totally Louisiana.
Yeah, I was going to say, so clearly you're in the outskirts of New Orleans, but he's basically like, in order to get your girlfriend back, you have to go through a series of challenges to prove how much of a man you are. Like, Annabelle wasn't sure about this? Oh man, Jeremy just made a face reading about the story of this.
Totally a girlfriend kidnapping service.
Archie Comics published a comic book tie-in series based on the adventures of Bayou Billy, illustrated by Amanda Connor. I know you guys don't know who Amanda Connor is, but she is a talented ass artist. Good. I want her drawing
her
my comics.
Drawings are incredible, then?
That's why she's drawing Annabelle.
She drew Power Girl for like 3 years, yes.
Well, I mean, everyone
I'm
has...
I'm sorry, keep going.
Everyone has some sordid spots in their professional career.
Yes, I know.
So basically, Billy's like, I'll show you how much of a man I am. I'll punch everything, including all the alligators. There's actually a section you can't proceed through until you've beaten up the alligators.
I actually like what you said off the mics. It's totally a girlfriend kidnapping service.
Yeah, where clearly it's like a...
run by a division of Bowser Inc.
It's like a role play thing they both agreed to. Their sex life was getting a little sell. They're like, you know what would really help? If you Mario-styled rescued me from this not Bowser.
It's just the plot of Double Dragon, but it's even less interesting than the plot of Double Dragon.
Also, they don't kill your girlfriend in the sequel.
And they aren't GRASP.
That's the sequel.
sorry.
And this game definitely didn't get a sequel.
So what makes us less interested in the Double Dragon is lack of new moves ever.
Yeah, well, and the combat in Double Dragon is more interesting. There are more interesting types of enemies. Well, some of them have whips.
There are choices to make. Sometimes you actually want to punch something in Double Dragon, and not always just jump kick everything. In this game, you'd want to always just jump kick everything.
And it has the all-important co-op. I guess Double Dragon 1 didn't, huh?
Oh, yeah, no, it had alternating gameplay, but not actual co-op.
Yeah, but it had unlocking moves. It had RPG elements.
Well, alternating is also better off than this, just because I'm assuming what you mean by alternating is like the Mario one, where it's Mario and Luigi. It's still better than nothing there, because that means you can have two players operating on two different lives, whereas otherwise, it's everybody's just playing on the same life.
So anything else you want to say about Bayou Billy? It's really bad.
My closest comparison I can make is Alien Storm, but way less good than Alien Storm.
Yeah, it does have kind of that same feel where it's trying to do multiple things, but Alien Storm had more
polish at the very least. It had more polish. I think that's the best way to sum it up.
All right. So at our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, we have a list of all the games we've played, ordered from best to worst. The best is Chrono Trigger. It's time-hopping, Akira Toriyami-ing, pre-BioWare adventure. In the middle is Excitebike. It's got bikes.
It's exciting. Woo.
It's a way better NES game than this.
Yay, bikes.
At the bottom is Golden Axe, a boring beat-em-up for the Sega Genesis.
It does have fire-breathing lizards, though.
Yes. And I think we are going to start the comparison right there at the bottom to Golden Axe. Golden Axe has a more interesting story, more fire-breathing lizards, and
more
co-op.
Variety.
I guess fewer attack varieties, but you also have the potion thing, which kind of adds some interesting elements to it.
But I was still bored right away, and the gameplay never changes up. Bayou Billy does have those other two game modes. And while they're not great, they do add some variety to the game.
Okay, I was wondering what argument you were going to make in favor of Bayou Billy over Golden Axe.
Well, you convinced me at the very
least. I think you have successfully convinced me that it is a more ambitious endeavor than Golden Axe.
Okay, so two above that is Operation Wolf, another light gun game where you don't have to use the light gun. And again, because of ambition, I feel like the light gun portions of this game are as good as Operation Wolf.
I think Golden Axe is a slightly better beat-em-up. I think Operation Wolf is a slightly better light gun game. But neither of them does both together, so I think by that same argument...
Actually, Bayou Billy does do both together, that's kind of the point.
No, I meant neither Golden Axe does Light Gun, nor does Operation Wolf do beat-em-up.
Oh, okay, because you were saying that...
Yeah, I can see how that's ambiguous. No, I think I agree that Bayou Billy's probably better by virtue of doing both.
Alright, so about 10 up from that is Double Dragon, and I don't think it's as good as Double Dragon.
It's not.
I think before we even got to the ranking section, we were discussing how it's not as good as Double Dragon.
I mean, just because it has a couple more game modes, doing more modes more poorly doesn't really help you at all.
Alright, so in the middle of those two is Castlevania Adventure for Game Boy.
That is actually a really hard comparison for me, because neither of these games is very good.
Yeah, but Castlevania Adventure was it was way more difficult than it really should be. There was less Dracula, and the platforming that it was trying to also implement
less Dracula
was so punishing that Bayou Billy is actually better than Castlevania on the Game Boy.
So my argument is that Castlevania is frustrating, Bayou Billy is boring, and I'm not sure which is worse.
So is Castlevania Adventure. There's like nothing on screen.
Yeah, I didn't find that one as boring as it was just kind of annoying, but I think I had to agree that it's worse implemented.
Okay, well, I think Castlevania Adventure is better for two reasons. It's not very good platforming, but it at least like starts easy and goes up in difficulty.
It has a difficulty curve.
Yeah, it's also super, super early Game Boy, whereas this is 4 years into the NES, so I'm more willing to forgive some of the problems of Castlevania Adventure than I am Bayou Billy. Unless I've swayed either of you, it will go above Castlevania Adventure.
I think I'm still going to have to give it to Bayou Billy.
I'm with Tyler. I don't think it's...
I think too many bad design decisions were made in the wake of Castlevania to have produced such a poor game.
Okay, so in the intersection between brawlers and 2D fighters as we know them, we have Fighting Street. How does it compare to Fighting Street?
I think Fighting Street was really bad. I think Bayou Billy, on virtue of the fact that it is three poorly implemented game modes instead of one horribly implemented game mode, I have to give it to Bayou Billy.
I'd give them all about the same level poorly implemented, honestly.
So would I, and I feel like Fighting Street has a legacy. Fighting Street had some good ideas to move on.
Bayou Billy was yet another beat-em-up clone.
Yeah, that just tried to staple on some vestigial limbs in the hopes of being able to do something.
Why is my left hand a light gun?
I don't know. I think you could actually kind of say that this one also tracks down to the modern sandbox because it has all the different modes in it.
Yes, clearly.
You could say that, yeah. I think.
You could say that. I didn't say you should say that.
So I think if you trace that ancestral tree, you'll find Metroid near the top of it somewhere.
Or Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
I guess they're pretty contemporary.
I think I'd have to give it to Bayou Billy, actually.
Okay, so the question is, better or worse than Alien Storm?
Worse.
Okay.
That's, I think Zach and I already agreed that Storm is the same idea, but with more polish.
Didn't we already have that conversation on this podcast?
I think it was before we turned on the mics.
No, it was actually just before we started the rating section.
All right, so Bayou Billy goes under Alien Storm, above Fighting Street, way down near the bottom of the list.
To be fair, I was expecting it to be right there keeping Space Harrier and Golden Axe Company, so it's higher than expected.
Only slightly, but
I guess it is Colorado.
And with that, Tyler, what are we going to play next week?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to count how many times we've made that joke. Anyway, so
I haven't made that joke.
We're
Big
talking
difference.
About the altitude, the mountains.
That's true. We are pretty high here.
We're a mile high, some would say.
So after all this horrible talk about horrible beat-em-ups, I'm feeling it a little blue. And you know what helps with that?
Prozac.
Dyeing your hair?
Yes, both of these things, technically. Also Mega Man, who is also blue. But he's happy all the time.
I usually yell at my support.
Right, but which Mega Man? There's Mega Man X2, there's Mega Man Legends.
Mega Man 4.
There's the Adventures of Tron Bond, there's Mega Man Battle Network.
The Adventures of Tron Bond would
yes,
be
I know
awesome.
I that, but
what is she like, 007?
They call me Bond. Tron Bond! Get him, guys!
What should be single 010?
We have to play Adventures of Tron Bond eventually, right? You are basically just playing Team Rocket.
None of these games, actually. We're going to play Mega Man 2 for the Game Boy, the Game Boy port of, well, Mega Man 2.
And Sword of 3.
And Sword of 3, yeah. A lot of them, I guess the first one we noticed was kind of a combination.
Well, the Mega Man Game Boy games were coming out concurrently with the next numbered NES game.
Interesting way to do that.
Well, it's just because after Mega Man 1, they made Mega Man 2 and a Game Boy 1 the next year.
Ah.
Which had a lot of similar elements between them, and they did the same thing between Mega Man 2 and Mega Man 3.
So next time on Last Time, we will be playing these games forever.
There are so many.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2016. All the video games and other media mentioned within are copyright their respective owners. Past episodes and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us by email at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. We're also on iTunes and would really appreciate it if you left us a 5-star review. Podcast over. You have to go to the start screen and load your last save again.